5. HMS Dancer, 56, Trove Island, Gulf of Dolar. Sir Gwilym Manthier glowered across the dark blue-black waters of Calm Bay. The sun had disappeared beyond the bulk of Trove Island behind him, and shadows had stretched themselves across the bay, turning its surface into ink. But the upper yards of Squall and Shield were gilded by the last level rays of sunset, reaching across Trove's heights. HMS Darts weren't, since she didn't have any upper yards. Work parties labored steadily on Captain Powell's ship. They'd already set up a new mizzenmast and a new main topmast, and given the ingenuity and skill of Carisian seamen, Manthier was confident they'd make the damage to her rigging good before Thirsk could react by sending a more powerful squadron to evict the squatters on Trove Island.
On the other hand, I think we can take it as a given that he'll be sending that squadron.
Manthier shook his head.
And before he does, I'm going to have to rethink my estimate of his combat capability.
He let his eyes rest on the fourth galleon lying to anchor in the small bay. Repairs to Prince of Dolar had actually been faster and easier to make, and although working parties still labored on her as well, she was essentially ready for sea. In most ways, Manthier was glad to see her. Her guns didn't match those of any of his other vessels, and all the ammunition he had for them was what was already in her shot lockers. Still, she represented a useful boost to his overall strength, and her capture was evidence of what Manthier's captains and crews could accomplish, even at 3-5 odds. As were the 50% casualties Captain Stewart had inflicted upon her Dolaran company. Manthier scowled as that thought reminded him of his own casualties, and why his gratitude at seeing the captured galleon wasn't unalloyed. His eyes moved back to Dart, and his scowl deepened. 84 of Powell's crew had been killed or wounded in the battle. Squall had escaped with only 3 wounded, but Shield had suffered another 32 casualties. That was 119 sailors and marines out of action, and 71 of them were dead. It was likely a third of the survivors would be permanently disabled as well. Even if they weren't, it would be a long time before they returned to duty. But the pressing point was that those casualties represented a third of a galleon's total complement, and his supply of replacements was limited. Very limited. The Admiral crossed his arms across his chest, leaning one shoulder moodily into the window frame as he contemplated that unpalatable fact. He'd anticipated personnel losses. Even aboard a Carisian ship, there were always ways a man could be killed or injured. Falls from aloft, accidents at gunnery practice, hands or feet accidentally crushed, moving any of the myriad heavy weights aboard a warship. Unlike some navies, at least drunkenness was seldom a factor in the ICN. Other navies, the pre-conquest Coruscantian Navy, and especially the Imperial Harchongese Navy came forcibly to mind, provided daily issues of rum to their crews. The men in those navies looked forward to their daily tots as a palliative for the boredom, drudgery, and, especially aboard Harchongese ships, misery of their lives, and more than a few spent as much of their time in an alcohol-induced fog as possible. Manthier was a naturally abstemious man, yet he had had nothing against alcohol. Nor did he begrudge his men whatever small pleasures they could find. The Carisian Navy's position for over 100 years, however, had been that drunkenness on duty was unacceptable. It was one of the few offenses for which the Navy still prescribed flogging for an enlisted man. In an officer's case, it cost him his commission. Fortunately, conditions aboard Carisian warships were far better than most of those other navies could boast. Carisian seamen seldom felt the need to escape into a drunken haze, and even if they had, opportunities would have been few. Not that alcohol was completely banned aboard Carisian warships. Their crews were issued beer, and good beer at that, every day, usually for their midday meal, for supper at other times. And rum was often issued for medicinal purposes or on celebratory occasions. But it was kept under lock and key between such instances and was nowhere near as available as in other navies. As a consequence, the accident rate aboard Carizian warships was barely a tenth as high as that aboard, say, a Harchangese galley. Accidents still happened, though, and despite all the Order of Pasquale could do about diet and hygiene, the packed living conditions aboard any warship, with its manpower-intensive crew and inescapably damp environment, too often became breeding grounds for disease. So yes, he'd allowed for a certain number of casualties, even exclusive of any which might be inflicted by enemy action.